one body bag or two?
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome
can I get
back.
Some chocolate before we start?
Yes, you can get chocolate before we start.
Oh, we should have brought the chocolate from home.
We have chocolate?
Yeah, remember the ones you brought from Ireland?
You mean the fudge?
No, not the fudge. I'm pretty sure that's gone now.
Yeah, mom ate most of the fudge. Dad took most of my chocolates. Yep.
But I was talking about like the ones you got from the Guinness shop.
Oh, the Guinness ones, yeah.
I tried the dark chocolate one. It was good. I don't know if you're gonna like the one though because it has notes of the Guinness beer.
Well, that's why I got it for you.
Well, I thought you got the caramel one for yourself.
I did
yourself,
get the caramel
though.
One for myself, but hopefully it tastes good. Okay, so it is now.
Thank you for the chocolate. Mm-hmm.
You're very welcome. It is week of the murder. My week, bitches.
Murder.
It's the murder.
Murder.
So I'm going to do a little mini shout out to a new listener. And she's from work. Her name is Jess. She will probably be like, fuck yeah, when she hears this. But I want her to thank her for making me think about another side of when it comes to murder and how the media plays a role and how it has changed. Because a lot of my murders I do actually cover kind of back in the day when it kind of covers way back in the day when they didn't have like internet and stuff wasn't available and stuff like that.
Did you watch the movie Wine Country on Netflix?
No, I have not.
So they refer to it in a scene where one of the ladies, she's actually a lesbian, and she's like, you kids have it so easy nowadays. Like, you guys just go on your phone and watch porn. She's like, back in the day, I had to drive to another town in a little shady, like, fucking rickety bus stop to get lesbian porn. And it was bad lesbian porn.
Yeah. So that kind of, like, what I was going to cover. So I remember covering, like, for
Ted Bundy.
Ted Bundy said that he would go through people's trashes trying to find pornography or trying to find murder stuff because he wanted to see that kind of thing. And we've had that instances with several other serial killers where they had it difficult to find that stuff to help them satisfy their urges. So she brought up this really, really important fact of how easy it is to just go online and Google like a murder scene or something and people can see that. And a lot of serial killers have reported and have claimed that being exposed to that stuff is what helped them trigger becoming who they are. And she brought up the fact of, well, we are getting a lot of people who are starting to kill at a young age and who are starting like 18, 19 years old. And does media play a role in this? And I honestly never really took that much into consideration until we had this conversation about that. And I thank you, Jess, for bringing that up. And I want to bring that up with my listeners. And I want you guys to get back to me and let me know, what do you guys take on this? Does media or the fact that it's available so easy for them to see on the internet play a role? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I want everyone to get back to us, post us on Instagram, post us on Facebook. Give me your opinion on this. Let's make a discussion about this. Does the fact that you can literally look up gore websites, there are websites dedicated to gore.
Some people have fetishes with the gore.
Yeah. And does this trigger or make it easier for people to become serial killers or psychopaths at an early age? Like, what's your input?
Do you think it might be something psychological to where they think it's justifiable that other people have done it? Then they
like
can
I've
do
seen
it, too.
It on TV. Why can't
I want to experience it myself. Like
but
I
not,
see this.
Not only that too, but it also desensitizes them to.
Yeah,
other things too.
Yeah, and it doesn't. They don't understand the consequences that can come behind such an action or such a thing. So, yeah, let's talk about this. If you guys, just shoot us an email at Tea Time Horror Stories. You can leave a message, DM us directly on social media, or just leave a comment on, you know, Instagram or Facebook, and let's talk about this. I think this is a very creative topic and something that would be interesting to cover. But I wanted to bring that up because it is Week of the Murder, and I am covering a very sensitive topic today. So my second episode I covered, I do believe it was my second or my third, I covered the murder of Fudge Nuggets.
I Boys don't think don't that's cry. Their name.
Boys Don't Cry. Yeah, thank you.
I'm trying to remember the name of the girl, too.
Tina Brannon.
Yeah, there you go.
I covered her. Remember how I mentioned there was another individual in there that also inspired trans and LGBTQ community to have more... So I'm finally covering the second half of that story.
Oh!
I am covering Matthew Shepard. Mm-hmm. And it is a sad, tragic story, much like Tina's. So... there might be dirty details in here. There might be stuff in here that I'm going to give you guys a warning. I already have a warning as it is in the very beginning, but I'm going to give you another warning. The details and stuff in here I may have may be sensitive to people. So here's your warning. Alrighty.
So does that mean I can exit the room?
No, you cannot. I need you here. So
I tried.
Right. You tried. So yeah, this is your warning. Parental advisory. Again, some of the stuff I cover is not... for the faint of heart.
Teresa, cover your ears.
Right, cover your ears, people. If this is something you want to go back to Mystical Asses. And that will make you smile. So, again, I am covering the horrible murder of Matthew Shepard. So, Matthew Wayne Shepard, born December 1st, 1976, was a gay American student at the University of Wyoming who was beaten, tortured, and left to die near Lehman on the night of October 6th, 1998. Wasn't that long ago, really. He was taken by rescuers to Padre Valley Hospital in Fort Collins, Colorado, where he died 6 days later from a severe head injury. DC's him.
Aww.
Yeah.
He's such a cutie.
He is. He was a cutie patootie, for sure. So...
R.I.P.
Right. He's huge, especially in the LGBTQ community. There's a lot of people who talk about him. He was really, he died, like Tina happened several years, 6-7 years before him. Mm-hmm. He died, and this is where people were just like, you know, enough is enough. People, we're having way too many people in our community who are dying because people are just stupid. Like, it's not right, it's not fair. Uh-huh. So, it took... unfortunately, someone dying and another death for people to really just be like, hate crimes. Hate crimes. That
usually tends to be the thing.
Unfortunately, it is. But his really, it really affected people. So Shepard's murder brought national and international attention to hate crime legislation at the state and federal level. In October 2009, the United States Congress passed the Matthew Shepard and James Bryan Jr. Hate Crime Prevention Act. And on October 28th, 2009, Barack Obama signed the legislation into law. Following her son's murder, Judy Shepard became a prominent LGBTQ rights activist and established the Matthew Shepard Foundation. Shepard's death inspired films, novels, plays, songs, and other works. So after this happened, his parents became huge activists. People to this day will walk around with shirts of his name on it and everything. So if you see him, R.I.P. He, you know, unfortunately. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background on this handsome man. So Matthew Shepard was born again December 1st, 1976 in Casper, Wyoming. He was the first of two sons born to Judy and Dennis Shepard. His youngest brother, Logan, was born in 1981, and his two brothers were very, very close. They were like this. Shepard attended Christ Hill Elementary School, Dean Morgan Junior High School, and Norota?
I'm getting old, can't see. Is that a T?
Yeah.
Or U?
It's a T.
Naturona?
I guess. Yeah, Naturona County High School.
What we're going with, Naturona.
Right, for his freshman through junior year. As a child, he was friendly with his classmates. He was targeted for teasing due to his small stature and lack of athleticism.
How tall was he?
That is a good question. Let's find out. I think if I'm not mistaken, he was like 5'2".
Play for me.
Let's see. He was 5'2", just like I thought. Yeah, so he was a shorty. Short life. Fuck, I'm 2 inches taller than him. Yeah. I just gave away my height there. Yeah, I'm a short person. So, yeah, he was short and it was his lack of athleticism. He developed an interest in politics at an early age. So... Saudi Aromo hired his father in the summer of 1994, and Shepard's parents subsequently resided at the farm in residential camp in Durham. And if people don't know where Durham is, it is in Switzerland. So
Switzerland.
Yes. So during the time, Shepherd attended the American school in Switzerland, from which he graduated in 1995, May. There he participated in theater, took German and Italian courses. And when Matthew came out as a teenager, at his age, his parents shrugged it off and welcomed him since they had already guessed he was.
Aww.
So they were very accepting and very warming of it. They were like, we were just waiting for you to come out. And they knew. So he then attended Catawba College.
Cowabunga College.
I almost said that, yes. In Northern Carolina and Casper College in Wyoming before settling in Denver, Colorado. Shepherd became a first-year political science major at University of Wyoming. And he also majored in language because he actually spoke three different languages. Knocking shit over there, Yelly.
Question, what were the languages again?
If I'm not mistaken, he knew German, Latin, and French? English.
Didn't I hear French before?
I think he may have spoken French. I may have
covered it. He was taking French classes, right? Unless I...
German and
Italian. Yeah. Not French.
Yeah, he took German.
Pardonnez-moi.
So he was described by his father as an optimistic and accepting young man who had special gifts of relating to almost everyone. He was the type of person who was very approachable and always looked to new challenges. Matthew had a great passion for equality and always stood up for the acceptance of people's differences. Michelle Josie, who had been Stepford's friend and later created a documentary about him called Matt Shepherd is a Friend of Mine, described him as a tender-hearted and kind person. I put king instead of kind, but I'm pretty sure it meant kind.
I'm pretty sure, too.
Yeah. In 1995, Shepherd was beaten and gang-raped during his high school trip to Morocco by a group of locals.
In Morocco!
Yes. Actually, I've been told when I was in UK, Morocco... Do not go by yourself.
Really?
Let's just put it that way.
Wow.
It is not very safe for women or people who can easily be taken advantage of.
Wow.
Like, if you dress provocatively, apparently to them it's like an invitation for them to grab you.
Wow.
Yeah. And provocatively is really just showing skin of any kind.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So, dress up in, like, that one outfit I showed you the other day. Yeah. When you're always cold, just like a big marshmallow
thing. Yes, pretty much. So this caused him to experience extreme depression and panic attacks. And according to his mother, one of Shepherd's friends feared that his depression had driven him to become involved in drugs, which he started beginning in college. In multiple attempts, Shepherd was hospitalized due to clinical depression and suicidal tendencies. So this affected him a lot. And it was ultimately what brought him down into a spiral.
Well, yeah, it's hella fucking traumatizing.
Yeah, so he, when this happened, he ends up going through like a huge life crisis. And he noticed that he goes from this like really school-oriented type of person to basically just spiraling down. And this ultimately, unfortunately, leads to his murder. So, which we're jumping to now. So, on the night of October 6th, 1998, Shepherd was approached by Aaron McKinley and Russell Henderson at the Fireside Lounge in Lemming. All three men were in their early 20s. McKean and Henderson decided to give Shepherd a ride home. McKinney confessed, he said he began to attack Shepherd because Shepherd had put his hand on his leg during the car ride. McKinley said, he replied, guess what? We're not gay and we're going to jack you up. So during the time that they were at said bar, I'll get into it a little bit later, but we're just going to like keep talking about his murder. Mm-hmm. So just keep waiting for the little details.
Uh-huh.
So they subsequently drove to a remote and rural area and proceeded to rob, pistol whip, and torture Shepherd, tied him to a fence, set him afire, and left him to die. Many media reports contained the graphic accounts of the pistol whipping and his fractured skull. So they had hit him so hard that his skull literally indented in.
Wow.
Reports described how Shepherd was beaten so brutally that his face was completely covered in blood, except where they had been cleaned by his tears. So the assailant's girlfriends testified that neither McKinley nor Henderson were under the influence of alcohol or any other drugs at the time of the attack. McKinley and Henderson testified that they learned of Shepard's address and intended to steal from him from his home. So they had originally planned to take him home and steal everything he had there. But instead, apparently it escalated and they just took him to a remote area.
And stole his life instead, pretty much.
Pretty much, which is weird because if you look at the map from where they were from the fireside place to where Matt or where, you know, Matt was living and to this unknown fucking place, it does not look or make sense that they were taking him home. It looked like they were literally taking him somewhere to beat the fuck out of him. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just no way of corresponding on maps of how they can say that, oh, we were taking him home, but shit just escalated. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And they brought that up, too. They're just like, something's not right here. Did you forget how to drive or where this area was? You guys are from this area. So how can you guys say that you don't know where you're going? And it's going to be brought up. So after attacking Shepard and leaving him tied to the fence in near freezing temperature, McKinley and Henderson returned to town. McKinley proceeded to pick a fight with two Hispanic youths, Emilio Morales and Jamie Herrera. The fight resulted in head wounds for both Morales and McKinley. So police officer Flint Waters arrived at the scene of the fight. He arrested Henderson, searched McKinley's truck, and found a blood-smeared gun along with Shepard's shoes and credit cards. Henderson and McKinley later tried to persuade their girlfriends to provide alibis for them and help them dispose of the evidence. So this was like, well, why do you have Shepard's stuff? This kind of got them thinking, well, where is he now? And I think that was kind of a turning point for them to help find the body instead of staying out longer than he did. So still tied to the fence, Matthew Shepard remained on the fence for 18 hours after the attack when he was discovered by Aaron Criffles, sorry, bad with names, a cyclist who initially mistook Shepard for a scarecrow. So Reggie Flint.
Could you imagine like just going out for like a bike ride? You're like, I'm gonna go for a bike ride. Oh, that's a really realistic scarecrow.
That's a mannequin.
That's not a scarecrow.
I was actually thinking that too. Like going out for a walk. Oh, look at the mannequin.
People just disposing mannequins anywhere randomly nowadays. That's what a lot of people find when they find dead bodies or naked dead bodies. They're like, oh, it's a mannequin. Poke, poke.
It's because a lot of people like live in this fantasy Disney world that nothing's wrong ever going to go wrong or happen to them. And it's like,
I'm never going to stumble upon a dead body type of thing. So
this kind of thing only happens in movies.
Right, and CSI, and Law and Order.
No, people.
Right, it actually happens. So,
Sadly, it happens, like, every fucking day happens, all over the world, and people just bat a blind eye to it.
So, Reggie Flutie, the first police officer to arrive on the scene, found Shepard alive but covered in blood. The medical gloves issued by the Albert County Sheriff's Department were faulty. And Flint ran out of the supply. So this is where people were like, this is where usually like 911, you don't do this type of thing. Uh-huh. But she realized that he was still alive and he was struggling to breathe. So she decided to use her bare hands to clear out his airway. So Shepard's body and his mouth. So a day later, she was informed that Shepard was HIV positive. And we all know HIV is only transmitted through
blood.
Blood and saliva and so on and so forth. So that's why police officers are always carrying gloves because they don't want to touch that. Because even if you have a cut, an open wound, you're bleeding on your nails or whatever, that can be transmitted. So she found out he was HIV positive and then she may have been exposed to the virus due to cuts on her hand. After taking an AZT regimen for several months, she tested negative for HIV. Okay, cool. So her actions ultimately saved him to live for a couple more days, but the hit that was on his head is what basically ended it. Mm-hmm. So Judy Shepard later wrote that she learned that her son was HIV status while he lay dying in the hospital. So he kept it a secret that he was HIV positive. And people wondered where he got it from, but he never really told anyone. So they're not too sure. So Judy Shepard stated, I thought he was way younger than Oh, sorry. Judy Shipper stated, I thought he was way younger than what he was just because his stature was so small. Mm-hmm. Matthew Shepard was 5'2", 5'2". Mm-hmm. Judy remembered trying to revive him, saying, baby boy, I'm here, kiddo. You're going to be okay. Hang in there. Don't give up. Come on. You can do this. Shepard's respiration was far and few between. So his breathing was really, like, barely there. Shepard was transported first to Ivan Memorial Hospital before moved to an advanced trauma ward at Pedro Valley Hospital in Fort Collins, Colorado. He had suffered fracture to the back of his head and in front of his right ear. This was due to being struck in the head or face between 19 to 21 times with the butt of a very large Smith & Wesson revolver. The revolver, yes. Damn. So
those things are not fucking light either.
No, they are not. They are heavy motherfuckers and they mean business. And just imagine, he was smacked anywhere between 19 to 21 times
in the same spot.
And it was just an indent. Like, yeah, pretty bad. So he experienced severe brainstem damage, which affected his body's ability to regulate his heart rate, his blood, body temperature, and other vital functions. His parents walked into a room staring. Bandages and stitches were all over his face, and bandages were around his head where he...
Sorry to interrupt you, but, like, I'm not putting two and together. Why did he get in the car with these people?
You're going to find out with actual words from the people and what their story was. Because, unfortunately, Matt never came around to tell us his side of the story. So we had to listen to what the asshole's side of the story was. Mm-hmm. And what witnesses' accounts were. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that we have and that we've been going by. And luckily, they have been convicted of it. So
good, because I thought this was going to be another Brandon thing, and the people that like just didn't.
They're in jail right now.
Oh, they are
for Brandon and Tina. They're still in jail. They're trying to override their conviction because one of them is trying to say that he's a dumb fuck because he tested for having a low IQ, and the other one is trying to blame the other one. And he's like, "Well, if he admitted to it, why am I in jail still?" So, yeah, they're still fighting it, but to this day, the last time I checked, they're still in jail.
Mm-hmm. I guess he's never heard of, like, being an accomplice or anything like that.
But even as an accomplice, you don't get as much time in jail. But he has spent, I don't know, what, over 20 years in jail now? I'm pretty sure he wants out.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not mistaken, these guys went from the death sentence to life in prison now, which is stupid in my opinion. So, yeah. So, where was I?
I always kind of, like, feel that the death penalty should be, like, receiving what it was that you did to the other person.
Yeah. I mean, I actually had a conversation with another one of my coworkers today, Tom, and he agrees with us 100%. He's all, like, you should suffer the way that you made your people, like, the people that you took suffer. Like, if you killed 30-some-off people and you did this and this and this to them, why do you get to stay inside of a place where you're getting 3 meals a day, getting health care and all these things while these people out there are suffering and all these people are and then there's some people who will live on the street. We have veterans living on the street, can barely pay for anything. And yet these people who murdered people are being treated better than them. What makes them better than them? They're not. They're pieces of shit. They're trash. Look what they did.
Yeah, we put them in a box and feed them 3 times a day. We feed them
better. We treat them better than we actually treat people who served our country.
Yep.
Woo! I can go on for days about this. I do not want my tax monies feeding those motherfuckers. But what can you do? Right? Justice system. Don't you fucking love it? So, yeah. Yes.
That's one of the combos that just... We can go on and on.
Oh, yeah. I can roar for days when it comes to the justice system and how stupid it is. But I'm pretty sure a lot of people can agree. And then there's people out there who will disagree. And everyone has the right to agree or disagree.
And I want
to
hear the rest of the story.
So let's go on with this. So his parents walked into a room stating bandages and stitches were all over his face and bandages around his head where the final blow had cracked his brainstem. His fingers and toes were curled in a comatose position, tubes everywhere enabling his body to stay alive. One of his eyes was partially open so you can see his blue eye and his blue eyes and the tube in his mouth. You see his braces, so of course it's Matt. His face was swollen and actually kind of unrecognizable till you got closer. There were also a dozen small lacerations around his head, face, and neck. His injuries were deemed too severe for doctors to operate. Shepard never regained consciousness and remained in full life support. While he lay in intensive care in the days following the attack, candlelight vigils were held around the world. Yep. Another picture of him. He was a really tiny guy. I got this. Poof.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was tiny. Small guy. Mm-hmm. Okay, so McKinley and Henderson were arrested, initially charged with attempted murder, kidnapping, and aggravated robbery. After Shepard's death, the charges were upgraded from attempted murder to first-degree murder, meaning that the two defendants were eligible for the death penalty. Their girlfriends, Christine Price and Chrissy Paisley, were charged with being accomplices after the fact. So they were aware of what he had done, but they had tried to come up with false alibis.
What they have done?
Oh, yeah.
What they did?
They were there at the bar. They were very much aware of what they planned on doing. They had told them from the beginning, we're going to rob this fucker, and your guys are going to be our alibis about it.
Wow.
And they agreed on it.
Wow.
And then
They
didn't think they were going to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't know that it was going to turn into a murder. So at McKinley's November 1998 hearing, Sergeant Robert DeBrie testified that McKinley had stated in an interview on October 9th that he and Henderson had identified Shepard as a robbery target and pretended to be gay to lure him out into their truck. And that McKinley had attacked Shepard after Shepard put his hand on McKinley's knee. Detective Ben Fritzel
testified. I wonder how it would have gone if he didn't put his hand on his knee.
I think they were aiming to fuck him up anyways.
Wow.
Because they knew he was gay.
Out of, like, hate?
Yeah. And they knew he was gay. And, of course, back in the day, that was not... Yeah. So, Detective Ben Fritz testified that Price stated McKinley told her the violence against Shepard was triggered by him putting his knee and how McKinley felt about gay people. His exact words. He did not like gay people at all. So in December 1998, Presley pleaded guilty to being an accessory after the fact to first-degree murder. On April 5th, 1999, Henderson avoided going to trial when he pleaded guilty to murder and kidnapping charges in order to avoid the death penalty. He agreed to testify against McKinley and was sentenced by District Judge Jeffrey A. Donald to two consecutive life terms.
To elaborate what that means to me?
Two consecutive life terms means he's going to serve two of his lifetimes in jail.
We discussed that.
Joe, like, and I literally had this conversation the other night where it's like, I think it's utterly ridiculous that a judge will be like, you're gonna serve four life sentences. It's like, well, I only have one. What are you gonna do, haunt after my spirit or something?
The thing is, like, I was watching on Netflix, there's a new series called Jailbirds.
Uh-huh.
And their opening is like them describing and doing the math of what they mean for their sentences,
which means,
and I'm just like, one of them is like, oh yeah, it's two times the sentence doubled, and then like, so I was just like, why don't you just say
100 and some off years, or 200 and some off years. Why don't you
just say,
if it's... doesn't sound less menacing or less stupid. More, to me, it just sounds so stupid. When you're going to serve four consecutive life sentences. Like
you're going to serve 12 years, but doubled. And I'm just like, why don't you just say 24 years? Like,
right. You know? Exactly. So it they try to make it sound that way so it sounds more menacing. And people are like, oh, his afterlife is going to affect it too. I don't fucking get it.
I don't get it.
But yeah, so one of them decided to turn on the other and said, hey, if I give you my testimony, I will be, at least I'm not going to get the death penalty.
That they can do that.
I know. Believe me. Like,
why?
Almost every case that I've covered has someone who did a plea fucking deal. And
why is that part of our justice system still?
I don't fucking get it at all. Why people can just get away with murder by just pleading and being bitches and not
ratting the other person out, even though it took both of them to do it.
Right, it takes two to fucking tango. Thank you very much. And justice system. So either way, he was still serving two consecutive life, but he at least will be spared from the chair from old Sparky. or from like dying, being killed, yet someone should probably kill him in jail. Not putting a hit or anything out there.
Am I hearing like a whole law-abiding citizen type of thing too?
That's how I feel a bit. Like he was able, he's like, just because I decided to give you a plea deal and you think you liked me and how I acted, like he was just like, I don't know. I really like that movie though.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. It irks me so bad. Like, I don't know. So yeah, he got two life consecutives at Henderson's sentencing, the lawyer argued that Shepard had not been targeted because he was gay, which is utter fucking bullshit. Because they only told their girlfriends, yeah, we're going to go after this fucker because he's a fag.
So they can.
Yeah.
So they like legitimately had intentions to hurt him.
They had intentions because they're like, oh, because he's a gay guy, we're going to go after him because.
Do you think they like secretly like, yeah, I want this guy, but they didn't want to admit to their feelings and be like, so we're just going to kill him?
I'm going to say yes, or they're so mad at themselves, like, that they have to take there? It out on somebody yeah, else. Exactly. Like, I don't understand people's logic sometimes, but they did.
What year was this?
1998, yeah. Not that long ago, really. It was like
20 years ago.
Really, I was alive at that time and very much aware of this shit. And it just, again, it just blows my mind. Here are the picture of the two fuckers, by the way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They look like hobbits.
They're big old fucking ears. So, yeah. They said that it wasn't a hate crime. Other people argue otherwise. So McKinley's trial took place on October, November of 1999. Prosecutors Carl Richua alleged that McKinley and Henderson pretended to be gay to gain Shepard's trust. Price, McKinley's girlfriend, testified that Henderson and McKinley had pretended that they were gay to get Shepard in the car and the truck and rob him. McKinley's lawyer attempted to pull forward a gay panic defense. Now, this is an actual thing, and it is debatable to this day that apparently you can get a lesser sentence
if you call it a defense instead of...
Yes, you can call it... It was a mix between a hate crime, not a hate crime, I'm sorry, a crime of passion and a gay panic. So it's a mix between I got so enraged because this gay person was hitting on me that I just couldn't control myself and I beat the living shit out of him. It's an actual defense that can be played.
That's so dumb.
Yes. So some people are so offended by gay people and so intimidated, I guess, by them, or just, I don't know what it is, that they can put the defense that I beat the living shit out of him because my body took over me and I could not handle being around this gay person.
That's like just as bad as women, their body shuts down when
that we have a self shutdown.
Yeah, system. That they have a self shutdown system when they're getting raped. This kind of sounds
current events right now that women's bodies are being fucking controlled by men.
Yeah, that kind of sounds like the same bullshit argument. And I'm just going to...
And you know what's something? A woman Republican senator agreed with him. We have people supporting...
Did they put LSD in her fucking water or something?
No, I really feel like a lot of this fucking Republican and everything, like, people just get fucking paid on the table and they're like...
I'm pretty sure
our fucking economy is just so fucked up that they're like, yeah, sure.
President so and so is just like, here, how about you just agree to this shit and I'll give you like $3 million. $350 million.
Oh god. I'm trying to find something I have here of like, I just raged over whatever the fuck I just read and I was just like, who, why, my brain, society. So oh, here we go. So these, I'm just gonna go on a small tangent here, so here we go. Republicans on rape. Rape is kind of like the weather. It is either inevitable. It is inevitable. Relax and enjoy it. That came from Clinton Williams, Republican in Texas. If it is a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to shut that thing down. Tob Akins. He is a Republican from Minnesota. Rape victims should make the best of a bad situation. Rick Stantrum from Pennsylvania. I want all these
people to honestly just get raped and be like, let's see what you fucking say now.
Right.
Like,
did
honestly,
your body shut down during that
right?
shit?
Right?
Even when life begins in the horrible situation of rape, there is something that God intends to happen. It is something that God intended to happen. Richard Murlock.
Can we stop? My brain cells are fucking diminishing. Ready? Wait for each it. And
this
every
was
one that
said by a female. In the emergency room, they have what they call rape kits, where women can get cleaned out, right? Jody Lindberg from Texas. Republican from Texas.
I'm done. I don't want to live on this planet anymore, guys.
Right. If a woman has the right to an abortion, why shouldn't a man be free to use his superior strength to force himself on a woman? At least the rapist persuade of sexual freedom doesn't, in most cases, result in anyone's death.
Yeah, because, oh my God.
Yep. Mic drop. Well, more like a phone drop there.
No, continue on with
yes.
the story.
Woo! Tangent on people. Right.
People being able to shut themselves down and not control their own emotions.
Woo! Yep. Okay. Tangent over there, please. Yep. Current events, y'all. So, back to what I was saying about Matthew Shepard.
My head hurts. It hurts.
So, yep. Anyways, so
this is not good for my blood pressure. You get me so salty and emotional.
This
just
always
an emotional
happens
roller coaster with you with these fucking stories.
With murders. When it comes to murders, people see my true side, and people see like me just raging over things, and it eventually leads to some like common. Not common, but, like, stuff that is happening now. So, anyways, so McKinley's lawyer attempted to put forward a gay panic defense, arguing that McKinley was driven to temporarily insanity by alleged sexual advances by Shepard. His defense was rejected by the judge. Thank you. The McKinley lawyer stated that the two men wanted to rob Shepard, but never intended to kill him.
So that makes it all okay.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
It was like, we intended to rob them, but you know, one thing led to another. Boom, we killed
them. Boom, bang, bam. We hit them way too many times on the head with the revolver.
Please hear our sarcasm in all this, people. Like,
yes. So, Raranch argued that the kill had been premeditated, driven by greed and violence, rather than by Shepard's sexual orientation. So they really, really tried to lean it away from being a hate crime. Uh-huh. Because if people know nowadays, hate crime, if you do a crime of hate crime, it is like instant you're on death row. Like instant. When Barack Obama put that thing down where it was just like, if you do a hate crime of any kind, you're just instant death row. Like, it's just not tolerated, which is great on him. Thank you for doing something. Wish it could have been done a lot sooner because too many people died before that had to happen and their voices should have been heard. So they were trying really, really hard to make it seem like it was more of a crime of passion and it was more of just a greed than it was of a hate crime.
Mm-hmm.
So to get out of the death penalty. So the jury found McKinley not guilty of premeditated murder, but guilty of felony murder and began a deliberation on the death penalty. So either way, he could still get it. So they found that this was not something that they premeditated to do. It just happened. Shepard's parents brokered a deal that resulted in McKinley receiving two consecutive life terms without the possibility of parole. So Shepard's parents decided, you know what? We don't want you to die. People deserve to live. You can serve your life in jail. If that's what they wanted, you have to respect what the parents wanted. It's not ideal and it's not what everyone wanted, but if that's what the family felt to get comfort, felt what they needed to like put an end to this, fine. Not everyone's happy with the decision. I'll admit I'm not happy with the decision, but if that's what helps bring closure to the family, fine. What can I say? What, how can
I
argue?
I'm pretty sure maybe they felt it as there's been already so much
enough
death.
Yeah. So, Henderson and McKinley were incarcerated in Wyoming State Penitentiary in Rollin and were later transferred to other prisons because of overcrowding. Following her testimony in McKinley's trial, Price pleaded guilty to a reduced charge of misdemeanor and interference with a police officer, and she didn't have to serve any time in jail. So wow. One of the girlfriends got away, I guess you can say. So here I'm going to jump to something that's probably going to make our blood boil a little bit more.
What is it?
This is what I'm here for. So I'm here's ready. Some unfortunate faces open. Truth and news. So unfortunately, members of the Westboro Baptist Church led by Fred Phillips received national attention for picketing shepherds' funerals with signs bearing homosexual slogans such as Matt in Hell and God Hates Fags. Yeah. So right outside where he's trying to have his funeral, outside of a church, these people were protesting. Church members
also... What is wrong with people? Like, how do they get up and like, I'm going to make this fucking sign to just go and disrupt this family that already lost their fucking child?
As you guys know, I am not a godly person, but I would never disrespect someone else's religion. And I believe in my heart of hearts that whoever God that you worship, whatever God that you worship, they love all things, regardless of what you are. If you're gay, bi, lesbian, straight, transgender, Chinese, black, white, whatever the fuck you are, your God or whatever God you worship loves you for who you are. And one of the number one things, don't quote me on this, I have not read the Bible in all its entirety, but he does not promote hate, right? Am I correct?
One of the verses, I think, is also like, love thy neighbor.
Exactly. And regardless of what your neighbor is, love them. Love everyone. Life is too fucking short. And if you're going around hating people, God is not a vengeful person. No God is a vengeful person. And if you're going around hating people, oh my God, it's so stupid. So... church members also mounted anti-gay protests during the trials of the Henderson and McKinley. They actually were saying what they did was the right thing because they were trying to expel an evil spirit. In response, Romaine Patterson, one of Shepherd's friends, organized a group that assembled in a circle around Westboro Baptist Church protesters. The groups wore white robes and gigantic wings resembling angels that blocked the protesters. Despite this action, Shepherd's parents were still able to hear the protesters shouting anti-gay remarks. So these are what they call the angels.
Oh, I remember this.
They would walk around with sheets that looked like they were angels, covering and standing and trying to block these idiots from doing what they were doing. Yeah. Unfortunately, they can block visually, but they couldn't block the audio that these people were shouting. So... and these people actually, I think it's so awesome. Like, I give so much credit to these people. They actually not only went to his, but these are a known group that go around to funerals of people who were killed that are gay. And they try and block people who are, there are people who do this for a living, who go out and protest people's funerals because they are gay. And there are people who are out there, thank their souls for doing this and try to make it easier on the families who just lost a family member. Yeah. So, yeah, unfortunately, Shepherd's parents were still able to hear the protests shouting anti-gay remarks and comments directed toward them. The police intervened and created a human barrier between the two groups. It's called the Angel Action, was founded by Peterson in April 1999. So they go around with these awesome sheets. Mm-hmm. And people call them the angels. Yes. So really nice group. Really awesome job. I give you guys 1,000 props having to deal with this bullshit and just keeping your composure.
1,000 thank yous.
Right? Like you guys.
Could you imagine just the family members?
Right? Like you.
I would honestly cry. I wouldn't be able to.
Right? It just like, it cannot affect you. Like you can't feel that knot in your chest thinking about it. So it became a legacy. So in the years following her son's death, Judy Shepherd has worked as an advocate for LGBTQ rights, primarily issues relating to gay youth. She was a main focus behind the Matthew Shepherd Foundation, where she and her husband Dennis founded in December 1998. Gay rights activist John Stoltenberg has said that to portray Shepherd as a gay bashing victim is to present an incomplete account of his victimization. Keeping Matthew as the poster boy of gay hate crime and ignoring the full tragedy of the story has been the agenda of many gay movement leaders. Ignoring the tragedy of Matthew's life prior to his murder will do nothing to help other young men in our community who are sold to slave ravaged by drugs and generally exposed. So basically he wants to take what happened to him as not just like a learning thing, but should be, we should be more aware that these people are going through so much crap. Like he got raped in Morocco and was it Morocco? I think it was. And this is what caused him to spiral out of control. If this, people were like, well, if this never happened to him, would this have happened at all? Like, the fact that he was HIV positive, he was doing drugs, he was, you know, all these things were to him. They're like, if we had saved him or if we had prevented this from happening, if we had better laws, the outcome for him would not have been the way it was. So, as stated before, Tina Brennan murder and Matthew Shepard's murder on October 22nd, 2009, the Senate passed the act by a vote of 68 to 29. So get that in mind, right?
68 to 29.
Yes. So it means there were 29 motherfuckers who said, no, this is a stupid law. We shouldn't pass this. Well, thankfully, we had a majority vote of 68 that was like, yeah, this needs, you know, this is a serious crime. This needs to be looked into. But the fact that there was still 29 people who were like, no, you know, maybe they deserved it. So President Obama signed a measure into law on October 28th, 2009. Remember, he was killed in 1998, so it took almost 10 years. It
took past 10 years.
Yeah. It took over 10 years for them to finally pass something against hate crimes, so based on sexual orientation. So get this. Not even 10 years, well, a little over 10 years ago, it finally took the United States to be like, you know what? Hate crime on sexual orientation is kind of a bad thing. Let's do something about it. Granted, we are a little further when it comes to some countries. Some countries still don't recognize hate crime on sexual orientation as an issue or a thing. So at least we can say we're one up on that. And actually there are some countries, Russia, where they imprison you for being gay. And if you express and they catch you in public for being gay, you actually can go to jail for a really long time for that. So, you know, kudos for us for trying to be a little bit more forward thinking. More countries should probably follow suit, but yeah, the fact that it had to take so many people dying for us to think this is a bad thing, when in my eyes it should have been looked at sooner, is definitely an issue. So but still to this day there are 15 states that their hate crimes laws do not expressly cover victim sexual orientation. So yeah, it is also said that we can fire. Also, this is all... you want a sugar cube on this?
I'm pretty sure you kind of spelt out what the sugar cube was there.
29 states, you can be fired based on your sexual orientation.
Wow.
Yeah. So there are still 29 states out of our 50 states...
That's more than half of our states.
Yep. Can fire you based on your sexual orientation.
That's stupid.
California is not one of them.
Obviously. Of course.
Thankfully. Thankfully.
I am so fucking California glad is, that I live in California.
Yeah, because, but there are as states out there.
As expensive as it is, yeah.
If they find out that you are rocking the other side, which is nothing wrong with that, you can be fired and you can get fucked up so bad from it. So, this is also one guy who attends to, I want to give kudos and shout outs to this guy. Unfortunately, I forgot to write his name down. Maybe I have it somewhere now, down there. He has gone to every, and if I'm not mistaken, he is the founder of it. He goes to everyone and he makes sure that the families have an easier pass through with what happened. So I give kudos to this guy. I will put his name
kudos
up on there. I will give him credit and I want you all to give him a big high five if you ever see him, because if I ever see him, I'll probably give him a hug. So in popular culture, of course, I always do this. Matthew Shepard's life, death, trial, and his aftermath has inspired numerous work, including documentaries, native films, television shows, stage plays, musical, and written work. Additionally, NBA player Jason Collin wore the jersey number 98 in honor of Shepard during his 2012 to 2003 season with the Boston Celtics and the Washington Wizards, and would come out as gay following the season. So, yeah, that was huge. I'm not a sports person, but anyone who's a sports person knows about this, and the NBA basketball. the people who dribble the ball.
Try to fire him from that job. I know what basketball is, yeah. Try to fire him from that job.
Right. I mean, during that time in the 2010, 2005s, or the 2010s and higher, a lot of athletes were actually finally feeling comfortable enough coming out as gay. We had several NBA players. We had musicians come out. We had a lot of NFL people come out. So, yeah, we had a lot of people finally feeling they can be free enough to express who they are. And most of them, I would have opened them with open arms, but there was some criticism, obviously, because that always fucking happens. But yeah, so kudos to Jason Collins out there for doing that. So a biological book, a biographical book written by Judy Shepherd and her son. So a biographical book was written by Judy Shepherd and her son, Matthew Shepherd, which was his close brother, who was very, very close. They spoke on the phone almost every day. Was released titled The Meaning of Matthew. Judy Shepherd speaks about her loss, her family's memories of Matthew, and the tragic events that changed the Shepherd's lives in America. The Meaning of Matthew follows the Shepherd family in the days immediately after the crime to see their incapacitated son kept alive by life support machine. How the Shepherds learned of the huge public response and the candlelight vigils and memorial services for their child, and their struggles to navigate the legal system. There had been several movies based on Matthew's case and several shows. So obviously it was a huge thing. The LGBTQ community use his case a lot in a lot of parades. There's not, I remember going to the SF parade last year and I remember seeing his face. I remember seeing in a lot of other people's posts in prides and other places, especially where this happened in Colorado. His face is like everywhere. And it's like, don't forget Matthew. And then I think, you know, Matthew is a huge face, but you should also not forget everyone else who tragically died because of this, because there's a lot of faces. You should just don't forget them type of thing. But Matthew's case is definitely, I left out a lot of dirty details. I didn't want to bring out crime scene photos because I know how touching it was. And I just wanted this to be more of a awareness, especially where we are nowadays with politics and where we are and everything. I think this is just a reminder that everyone's beautiful as they are and we should accept them how they are. So Judy remembers a conversation she had with her son when he was just a child. Judy recalls Matt asked her, "Do you think I'll be famous someday?" And she added, "I guess he got there now." Don't cry, Yelly.
Ugly cry coming.
She remembered that, and she literally ended it with, "I guess he got there now." She's like, "I wish he was better because he was into politics," and she felt like everyone felt like he was gonna change the world and he was gonna do, you know, really, really good. And I think he would have helped us all out, but his life was too short to us see it. But even passing away, he still made an impact, and his mom recognized that. Everyone recognized that, and it took, unfortunately, his sacrifice for us to really see that everyone's a human being. And it's unfortunate he had to die at such an early age. So that is my story of Matthew Shepherd.
I'll give you a point. I really enjoyed this story.
Yeah, I tried to leave out...
It's tragic, but...
I didn't want to put in gory details in this one. This one, I just wanted
Thank you.
I wanted to
appreciate that.
It was already emotional as it was. So I just thought, let the emotions ride on this one. And let's just celebrate what he's done for us. And let's just celebrate life. And let's just celebrate people in general. Whoever you are, however you are, we all love you. If you haven't heard today, you're beautiful. If you haven't heard today,
you're amazing.
You deserve to live. You are beautiful the way you are. We accept you for how you are. And if people around you are not accepting of it, we accept you for who you are. Right? People, the people here at Tea Time Horror Stories, Yelly, Joe, and myself.
I'm like trying not to cry and like overthink about it. But yes.
We accept you and are okay with how you are. And if you ever need someone to talk to, you can always shoot a DM. I'm more than willing to talk to you. I love you all out there.
We're both, me and Joe are both like nodding, but yeah.
Yeah, I know you can't see.
You guys are probably verbally,
Yeah, I'm all looking at you guys. You guys are nodding. I'm just,
like, more heartfelt, like, because, you know.
I made this one super heartfelt. I wanted this one to pull at the heartstrings instead of, like, let's give them gory details. Because I don't think gory details are warrant for this one. I think I think just remembering it needs
more respect.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, definitely respect.
Not saying that all of the other murders and everything.
No, yeah, I have respect for everyone else. But
isn't demanding of respect.
It's all there. It's just this one was more of... especially with nowadays current events. Yeah. Like, I tried to not...
It was the context of the information that was giving to...
Yeah, I try not to get too current eventy in my stuff because I want you guys to listen to our podcast and be able to, like, zone out of the world that's happening nowadays. But there's some things that we have to cover, and these are one of the things where...
Issues that still need to be addressed.
Accept yourself. Accept everyone around you, and if you don't fucking like it, fuck you. Really, Just come on. I'm gonna quote my also lovely boss. Come on. I know he doesn't listen to this, but come on. So yeah, that's my story. That's Matthew Shepard in a nutshell. Again, I didn't do a lot of details, but I just wanted to give him justice and just make recognition and shout out to our LGBTQ community out there. Mm-hmm. And show that we love you. We support you. This is a safe place for you.
All that love, Sam. I'm going to give you 2 points for this whole story.
I got points.
Yay.
So, yeah. We love you guys. This is an LGBTQ-friendly community, and we're an LGBTQ-friendly podcast. If you don't like it, then fuck off. if you like it, whoop, shout out. We love you guys. And I just want to do a big ol'
straight up, just fuck off.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I don't want people. Am I the only one?
No, you're fine. You're fine. I just like the fuck off.
Fuck off. Just the way you said.
Come on.
So yeah, that is my story. I hope you guys really liked it. I hope it was informative. I hope that goes out there, makes you want to make a change in the world. Be that bright, shining star.
You guys have change.
I forgot where I read this.
Anybody have some spare change?
I read this quote somewhere, like, just recently, and I'm just, like, connecting it with this, that where it's, like, it said, if you don't feel like you belong or have a place in this world, like, and it takes it to, well, it's probably because you were meant to change this world. Aww. Actually really hits heart on that one with this one right now. And Yeah.
It's
so
a huge thing.
You're an oddball out there.
Oh, I also wanted to start something. I have decided to purchase this lovely thing where every day gives us a lovely random facts about murder or mystery. I've been posting it on our Instagram.
Is that the little red calendar
thing? Yeah, exactly. Oh. So I decided that because we record once a week, I'm going to take my favorite story once a week, one that me and Joe liked or all of us will like, or maybe each of us can pick one and we can choose our favorite one and then we'll read it out for those, you know, and be
from
like,
that's the murder one?
Yeah, for the murder one. From the little
murder calendar. Thingy.
So the one that I decided to choose for this month or this week, we're a little off on the date. This is a January 4th.
We just got this calendar.
We just got it. Okay, I'm a little late on getting
this calendar.
We're starting
from the beginning.
Yeah, so on January 4th, we have a survivor story. Her name is...
Survivor. I'm a survivor. I'm gonna give up. Wait, how's it go? I'm not gonna give up. I don't know the words to the song. Don't be mad at me.
Do you even remember who sang it originally?
Original? So it was a cover?
No. Whoever, whoever
sang it. Is it a Destiny's Child?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Why would you ask the question and not know the answer?
That's why I was asking.
Joe, get out of here. Get out of here with that.
No, that's why I was asking.
You know that point we gave you earlier, Joe?
What about?
You're getting real close to God. And then it pulled the fuck away.
Watch your mouth, boy.
Google it, Joe.
Okay. So this is, if you've noticed on our Instagram.
Might have been
Destiny's Child. I think it is.
For now, until we get caught up to our current date on this thing, we're going to be posting 2 a day. And so out of this week that has happened so far.
Frog mode over there?
Yes, he is frog mode. The favorite one that I chose was a survivor story by Mary Vincent in 1978. So never underestimate the resolve of a teenage girl. 15-year-old Mary Vincent was left for dead at the bottom of an embankment by Lawrence.
What's an embankment?
Embankment? It's like a creek.
Oh.
Yeah. Who By Lawrence Singleton, who had abducted her while she was hitchhiking near Sacramento, California. After raping Vincent, Stickhorn cut off both of her arms at the elbow with a hatchet, shoved her body into a hole, and drove away. But Vincent caked her arms in dirt to stop the bleeding and started to climb. When she reached the highway, she flagged down a couple on their honeymoon who took her to the hospital. Vincent later testified against Singleton, who died in prison. Today, she lives in Seattle with her two sons, three dogs, and a parrot. Having healed through art therapy, she now runs an art studio.
With her little peggy arms?
Yeah. Yep.
She used to probably have paintbrushes for arms. She does. She
plays softball.
And she plays softball.
Yeah, so I thought
Dang, what a badass bitch.
Right? It's a bomb-ass like, bitch right fuck there, man.
You and my little nubs. Could you imagine that couple on their honeymoon? Dude, that's got to be like out of a horror scene.
Oh my God, we're so married. I would have.
I'm sorry, but honestly, I think I would have just been like.
I've seen way too many horror movies to know where this ends.
Yeah.
That's how horror movies begin. Well, there's a movie that said that, and then one of the stoners in the back was like, that's how porno movies get started, yep. too.
Oh, man. Like, so, but yeah, so that was my story of the week that I decided to pick out of all the ones like, that we
read. I'm still
stuck on the nubby climbing. What happened to her arms?
Probably kept them as trophies, you know, kind of like how some murderers
could you imagine
do.
Someone just like has them tied up
like he has them. These are souvenirs. They're all mummified now.
Yeah.
Oh man. Ugh. That's intense. It's intenseness mm-hmm. right there. But yeah,
what do you think if they ever found him, she would have been like, my hands.
Trying to touch him, but she doesn't have arms, so she's touching him with the nun.
Oh my God.
But wait, so she just like fucking crusted the bleeding ends on mud? Well, yeah,
because if you stuff them like that, you can stop them from bleeding. The point is, if she didn't do that, she would have bled out. She would have died.
Yeah, so was it like, but then, yeah, it must have been muddy because it's the bottom of like a creek.
An embankment,
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she was
so
able.
She just like, scoop, I'm going to scoop this.
She just fucking.
Oh, wait,
like,
no, she don't have arm. I can't do it. Oh, man. She had to just like, I'm sorry. I wish. I don't know if people could hurt me with my hand.
Like, just like. She's not fapping, I swear.
I was like gesturing, like putting the mud on your nub, but then I was like, wait, she doesn't have the other arm.
So she was just like, yeah. T-Rexing it into the thing.
We're so fucked up because we're laughing about it, but I'm just trying to like visually, like, she went badass bitch mode. Like,
yeah,
I'm not fucking dying
die
here.
Because of this. Yeah, so she's a bomb ass bitch. Let's give a shout out to her for like fucking nubbing it out.
What's her name again? I just wanted to name her Nubby. Good job, Nubby.
Mary Vincent.
Mary Vincy. Badass bitch. Yes. Keep at it.
Bomb-ass bitch there. So, again, we're going to make this just a new thing where each one that we post, and if you guys want to...
Did you see my face, though, when you're like...
I did. When I told you what happened, your face was just like, oh my God.
Could you imagine? That's like... I'm still like... Like, shocked and amazed, you know? It's just like, and then like, crawl yourself out. Mom, she still got legs, so maybe she like...
What, like, well, I'm pretty sure when she got out of the embankment, she was able to half wave them down like a chicken thing kind of thing, like doing the chicken
or
dance.
Even like with her legs.
Could you imagine like the...
For some reason, no, for some reason, I just like...
It's like the people in the honeymoon come by and they're like, hey, look, the chicken dance. And they're like, no, that bitch ain't got arms.
That is so scary, though.
It is. It's like,
so do you think, like...
This like, is awkward laughing, really.
No, like, could you imagine watching...
Why he just took the arms, though?
Watching one arm go
and
not then
bleed her out.
Finish her off?
I mean, there's so many other ways he could have finished her off. I don't know. Maybe he just has a fetish
he, like,
for arms.
Underestimated her, right? What?
The way you said it sounded like you said, like...
Underestimated her or something.
It's a bit underhanded of him.
Oh my God, people. She was underrated. Oh, we're so bad. I'm so sorry. Our jokes are bad. Yeah, I'm sorry. But yeah,
do you think
maybe
he just
needed
to have a handle on
life,
how to do it.
Oh my God. So yeah, I'm going to be posting these stuff daily on the Instagram. If there's a story that you guys like in particular, who knows, maybe whoever one gets the most vote, we'll read, or whichever one we choose that we like the most, we'll read. Who knows? We'll figure it out. But you'll hear about it. Yeah, if not, you'll see about it.
Your help will be very handy.
Oh my god.
And that's Week of the Murder. Yeah, if you guys have any interesting stories you guys want to tell us about or you guys want us to cover, hit us up on our email, teatimehorrorstories@gmail.com, or you can just slide into our DMs.
Anyone messaged us in the email?
Yeah. Well, email, no.
The DMs?
Well, actually, we've had
Like people are more DMs.
Yeah, that's why I keep saying that. But we've had two emails, actually. So, plus other business-related stuff. Which I'm going to cover soon. Hopefully, to be determined and be announced. I don't want to say anything yet until it's solidified. But we have some possible...
Solidified is such a solid word.
Oh, yeah.
I just imagine Jello hardening.
Concrete.
It's concrete. But yeah, so we have some new stuff coming out. We're still working on merch. We're a little behind on that. Sorry. Now that I'm back from vacay, I'm going to be spearheading our podcast a little bit more. But yeah, if you guys have any stories or anything you want to tell us, just say good job. Slide into our DMs. You can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We also have a Patreon. And again, you can always go into our email at teatimehorrorstories@gmail.com. Other than that, I hope you guys enjoyed the story. Stay spooky, y'all.
See you next time, Space Cowboys.
Happy hunting, people.
Bye.
Bye.